We've learned that as a family of God, we are called to be on duty. First of all, making disciples, but second of all, or the other way around, I don't know which one is more important than the other, to worship God. We are not able to worship God, to pray, to sing, to do all these things that we do as usually in this service or during the service we have during the week, the small groups, without being priests. And the priests and the Levites in the Old Covenant were in charge in organizing and leading the worship for Israel. Of course, we know when you read the Old Testament, it's very clear that the whole nation was a nation of priests. But they were the priests representing the nation before God, and the whole nation was representing the whole world before God. So now we know that they were all in charge with worship. Priests, the Israel as a nation, trying to lead the whole world into worshiping God. Of course, worship means to give worth to God. So just have an idea. They worship and led others in worship through the sacrificial system and also through their ministries. The priests gave worth to God by bringing him gifts. And these sacrifices were gifts to God. God said, if you want to give me a gift, great. I will receive only five type of gifts. And he put them in two categories. So you have them right there, voluntary sacrifices and mandatory sacrifices. The voluntary sacrifices, they were also called sweet savor or aroma to God. And they were the burnt offering, the peace offering, the meal or the grain offering. They were always accompanied by a drink offering, wine. But this is, I'll talk about this later. But then you have the mandatory sacrifices. And interesting, as priests in the new covenant, we don't have to bring them. For the second, the last two, sin offering, guilt offering, we don't have to bring because Jesus did that for us. Praise God. We just ask him, please forgive me. Because of this, because he brought that sacrifice, we don't have to bring animals, we don't do anything, but we are called as spiritual priests of the new covenant to do the other ones, but not like that because we don't have a temple, a physical temple, but spiritual sacrifices because we also minister in a spiritual temple, right? And this temple is where? Here in Vienna? No. Where? No, it's not in our hearts. Sorry. I was looking there and there was in heaven. Oh, in heaven. There is a temple in heaven, which is the real deal. You remember that we talked about the shadow of the real one was in Jerusalem. But now that one is gone. We have only one in heaven. And in that temple, there is one minister as a high priest of God, and he is Jesus. And we minister together with him as we speak right now here. We are here, but also through faith, we are there and worship God the Father together with all of the angels, together with all of the Christians that died before us, together with all of the Old Testament saints. We are there with them. Do you understand how big is this? It's not only this. And by the way, we were only five people, I would preach the same. Because if we are 5 or 500 or 5,000, it doesn't matter the number. It doesn't matter how well we sing, how well we preach, how well we pray. All of these are also sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Awesome. It's mind-blowing. It's like, okay. So there in the Old Covenant, there were also some interdictions connected with the sacrifices, like the priests were forbidden to use strange fire. Even the fire was approved by God. If you want to bring a sacrifice, even the fire was approved by God. The priests were forbidden to bring sacrifices that were not perfect. Therefore, the priests were well trained to realize, to see if this is a blemished or unblemished sacrifice. An outsider from the tribe of Levi was, hey, you out. Actually, that happened. Remember, after the exile, some men said, oh, I am a priest. And they looked in the genealogy and said, I'm sorry, you're not in the list. Get out of here. Why? Because it's so important. And then there was another interdiction, but this one was concerning the space, the distance. So you cannot approach God whenever you want, however you want, whoever you are. No. If you are a Gentile, stop there. If you are a woman, you stop there. If you are a man, you stop there. And then if you are a priest, you stop there. If you are a high priest, only one time. only one time per year, you are in God's presence. And you represent the whole nation. Do you understand this? Through Jesus Christ, all of us, we have open entrance to the Lord in God's presence. And sometimes we don't even understand this. You're like, yeah, it's normal. It's you know, the new covenant. No, no, no. Oh, you know what? Live for 5 minutes in the old covenant and then you will see how blessed we are. So think about this. When we talk about the spiritual sacrifice, which actually we mean a sacrifice, a gift to God. The English word sacrifice comes from Latin, from a Latin word that means make sacred. So think about this. When we bring spiritual sacrifices as priests of God, of the new covenant, we actually transfer these offerings from humans to God. I'll say it again. We are in the business of transferring these things, these sacrifices, and at least on my count, there are at least 11 or 12 or maybe more, but we don't have time. Even today, I have time for 5 or 6 next Sunday. I didn't plan that. I thought today I'll, you know, nail them, all of them. It's impossible. It's like just to name them and that's it. Okay, do it. It's not enough. So next Sunday, I have to. We planned something differently. But hey, it's very important to understand that all of these things, all of these sacrifices are offerings that we transfer from our human level to God level. And by the way, at that level, God level, he is alone in his category. He's holy. This means holy. It's unique. Nobody is in there. But then he says, hey, I want you to be part of the family, my family. What a privilege. So today I would like to emphasize at least 5 or 6. We'll see how the time goes. We have a duty as a priest of the new covenant. We have a duty. And today I'm going to talk about the spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices are more than one. The first one I would like to mention is in Hebrews 13:15, the sacrifice of praising and thanking God. All together, again, as priests, we minister together. And this is awesome. I love it. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. The author teaches us that the sacrifices of the lips involves verbalizing praise, not only thinking about, like thinking, Lord, thank you, you are awesome, you are great. Yeah. Who knows that? You keep it only for you? That's so selfish. So you have to say it. Praise God. Oh, no, not amen. Let's say praise God. Praise God. That's something. And now, you know, 2 dots, and then you continue. Praise God for this. Praise God for that. Praise God for my life. Praise God for my family. Praise God for my church. God is awesome because I am part of this. I am nothing. You understand? It's the fruit of the lips. This sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving is to be public, to be open. It's not concealed in your heart and it, yeah, I know, I believe God in my heart. Who cares? I want to see it. I want to hear it. Because if not, that means I don't know if you are the real deal or not. Because you are afraid to say it, that's a problem, right? Well, I cannot pray, I cannot sing, I can. Yeah, I understand. Not everybody plays instruments or have a very good voice. Who cares? I don't. But you have to sing, you have to pray, because all of these sacrifices, when they will go up to God, they are offered, God transforms them. You will never recognize your song. You will never recognize your prayer because they are different. God makes them perfect, not you, not me. So who cares? God cares that you will open up your mouth. And this is why we are here. I know. After the sermon, we have, you know, the feedback groups of prayer, singing. It's when you verbalize it. But for half an hour, 45 minutes, I speak, you listen. That's not fair. So during the week, we have small groups, right? And during the small, then you speak. It's your turn. You have to witness to the others. I want to live this out, to live out this word in this manner, and this and that and that, and then that. That's a praise. That's a sacrifice. You understand? We all enter with this sacrifice. This sacrifice needs to be offered up. Bring it to the altar where you raise it and put it there. And last small group, Eva, you are here. Remember when you brought the little booklet and you told us that the altar was like, you have to bring it, and when you put it in, you cannot see it. I love that idea. Whenever you bring your sacrifice and you live it, you put it in the sacred space, you don't see it anymore. It belongs to God. Amen. Yeah, it's so awesome to understand this. I offer up my praise. And that's it. Then my praise goes there where I cannot see it. But God see it, hear it, and he enjoys it. Because it's a sweet aroma to him. It's that type of praise. There are a few rules when you offer up the sacrifice. You see the verse there. All the rules are in there. First, the sacrifice is offered up through Jesus Christ. Well, actually, it's the verse before this. Through Jesus and through his sacrifice. Our sacrifice of praise is made possible because of Jesus Christ. So you don't go there in front of God and say, hey, I am Christy Pana and I want to offer you a praise. I said, who are you? Well, I have, are you coming through Jesus Christ? No, I'm coming. What are you talking? Go back and come back through Jesus Christ. That's what the author of Hebrews said. Through Jesus Christ, we do bring this. Number two, sacrifice. This sacrifice is described as the fruit of the lips. I mention it. And then, do you see this there? Is continually. By the way, the word continually is not in the Greek. It's just the tense of the verb that tells you that is a continual action. You cannot stop. The present tense of the verb to offer up points toward this. You do it in a habitual manner. It's a habitual action. Continually offer up without ceasing, without stop, without end, day and night, right? Day and night, night and day. We do this. When you wake up, you praise God. This is how we bring this type of sacrifices. You should offer your fruit of the lips, and you should do it in this way. By the way, when I say this, praise and thanksgiving, I'm not talking about only singing. No, no, no. We have so many ways to bring this up to the Lord through the testimony, through the prayer, through the presentations. Praise God. This is a praise to God, right? Not to you, I hope. Well, I know. Because they are servants of God, but don't look at them like, oh, they are servants of God. Go, girl, I don't, you know, we stay here, you go there, and you praise God, and you, no. No, it's all of us, and thank you for challenging us. Be a missionary. If you are a priest, you are a missionary. God sends you there to praise God among the nations. That's awesome. How about praising God through your life? Not only singing. Well, Lord, I don't have voice. No, okay. Find a different way to praise God. Another sacrifice is next verse in Hebrews 13, 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing, right? Pleasing, well-pleased, or sweet aroma to God. This is the sacrifice of participating and contributing. The praises must go on along with these loving actions. You know, the word share means to have communion, to have fellowship, to contribute, to participate, to share what you have. What type of contribution and participation is required from the New Testament priest? Because we know the Old Covenant. Anything that helps the congregation is a sacrifice of contribution. Think about this. Sharing your time to have interaction with other Christians. Contributing to the well-being of the church. Participating alongside others in the church to bring life to others, not death. We come together to bring life, not death, right? The main idea is that when you participate with your presence in that relationship, with your talents, even, how about this, technical knowledge, right? You have Zenon and Kay there, they are doing, and it's like, they are our technicians. No, that's really bad. They are priests using their talents and their time, their knowledge, to do something technical. That's a sacrifice. Do you understand? It's awesome to know that everything we do to praise God and to contribute to the well-being of the church is a sacrifice. It's a spiritual sacrifice. When you miss a church service, either Sunday or during the week, small groups, you keep for yourself that sacrifice. You are very individualist and selfish, and I don't care about them. I keep it for me. Yes, I understand, and we all understand. Well, you cannot come. Life is complicated, right? And here in Vienna, we know how complicated it is. But hey, when you have time, you come and contribute with anything is possible with your. I don't know, maybe God puts a verse on your heart and you encourage somebody else with that verse. That's a sacrifice. You participate. You are not a spectator. Praise God. We are not a community of spectators. This is not a show. This is a community of priests that they want to have fellowship, they want to participate. Number three, the service of good works. Hebrews 13, 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Do good works. Good works is not a social experiment, right? Random acts of kindness. Look, and you know, the YouTube is filled with that. And this is not for Instagram or TikTok. No, this is a sacrifice for God. God requires it. God enjoys it. So just do it. You understand? Doing something good and beneficial to somebody, to some people around you, could also be neglected. Like, I don't have time. I forgot to do this. We have it's part of our vision as church, until 2030, to have 10,000 acts of kindness here in Vienna. We have only 2 so far. We are so behind. You know why? Because we neglected. We forgot about it. That's why I put it in this. If you want to see, it's here after service. And if you do it, if you do something good, just come here and write it down. We want to have this remembrance. God was so good to us, we are good to other people. That's a sacrifice. When we do helpful kindness to homeless people, we are not doing something nice to them, although we do. Mainly, we do it for God. Mainly, we do it for God because we know that's a sacrifice. It's a spiritual sacrifice. Number four, the sacrifice of praying together. Revelation 8, 3 and 4, interesting piece of scripture. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. In the Old Testament, the incense burned on the altar was understood as prayer. Prayer is the acknowledgement that you are desperate for God. Lord, I cannot do it by myself. I need you, and I'm so desperate. In Luke 1, 9 and 10, the time of burning incense was the same time when the congregation was in prayer. You see, Jesus, as the high priest, prayed. He prayed in the way toward Gethsemane. Remember John 17? We have a record of all of his prayer. In his prayer, he was thinking of you and me. Lord God, take them, protect them. You gave them to me. Now I give them back to you. But of course, receiver, the initial were receivers of this prayer was the apostles. But that is also for about us, unity of the church. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church. Why? He was the high priest. So in his way toward the Garden of Gethsemane, he was prayed. And then when he got there, he took three of them and said, let's pray together. They were sleeping. They were too tired. After so much good lamb and four glasses of wine, of course. But he was right there. He was praying. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, please take this from me. And God said, no. And this was for them, for the three. They heard this and they got the slip. You're like, they were snoring, and Jesus went to them and like, what are you doing? I told you, pray with me. They heard the prayer, but then he started to pray more earnestly. Remember that? And his sweat became blood because he prayed, God the Father, please help me to get this done. I know it will be difficult. I want to get to the point when I will say, Tetelestai, it's over, it's completed. And God the Father said, yes, I will help. And you look at Jesus on the cross, even when he said, God, why did you forsake me? It was still the Father was with him, giving him power, strength, to get it done for us. Jesus prayed because he was a high priest. We pray. There is no meaning to prayer unless you are a priest. We are priests of the new covenant, and therefore that's why we pray. In Revelation, this moment in Revelation is a piece of future history. And we learn that an angel offers incense and prayers of all the saints, and they are all together, they are going up. This smoke of incense goes up with the smoke of the prayers because both of them are sacrifices. When you pray, you actually bring, in your desperation, you bring a spiritual sacrifice because you are a priest of God. Praise God. All of us, brothers and sisters, the whole church in prayer, that's like incense. That's like sacrifice. What an image. And by the way, do you see this? How much incense he offered? Much. It's only one word that you understand. The incense was equating the prayers. How many prayers were there? Not only because they were of all saints, all priests. There was a lot, much prayer with much incense. So we are holy priesthood before God. We are consecrated to God, sacred to Him. So when you pray, you bring this sacrifice, and next second that prayer disappears. From our level goes to God's level, and it's sacred. You understand, your prayer will never be the same. That the one that you say and the one that is received, they are different. Because now that's a holy prayer. Because it's in God's presence. Where is God is different. And everything about Him, around Him, is different. Oh, by the way, remember Moses? He was before Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, in the burning bush. And do you remember his advice to Moses? The first thing that he asked him, take off your shoes. This ground is holy. Why? Because of Moses? No, because of God. So you understand, even this place, we know that this place is used for many other purposes, like theater, dance, and everything. This, I'm talking about this arena, right? But when we are here, is a holy place because God is among us. He is here with us. So we are privileged to have free access to God, bringing these sacrifices, prayers, and praises. What a privilege. What a privilege comes with the fact that we are priests. Number five, the sacrifice of money. Ooh. Now it's getting touchy. When it's about money, it's right? The sacrifice of money and material, says Paul. Philippians 4:18. I have received full payment, says Paul. And more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. Listen to these words. A fragrant offering. A sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Everyone knows that when we talk about money, this is really sensitive, and especially in the church. Paul's principle was not to receive financial support from the Corinthians. You know why? They were rich. I mean, really rich, but they were immature. So he received money from the Christians in Philippi. They were really poor. Really poor, but mature. But mature. And when they gave, he gave so much that even Paul was surprised. When it says, you see, in ESV, this is what I use, I have received full payment. Like, oh, so it was the salary time. Woo-hoo, let's praise God for salary. No, it's not that. Actually, the word means abundant. That's why you see this, I have received full payment and more. The whole thing here, full payment and more, is only one word. And they didn't know how to translate it better, so they translated it in this way. But the word is abundant. Abundant means a large quantity that results in leftovers. So Paul received something, used it, and there was still there. And Paul said, oh, it must be a sacrifice. This is not just, you know, money sent to me or things, whatever they sent. No, it's a sacrifice. So brothers and sisters, you know, there is a time in our worship, also today, when the plate comes, you know, and you think, oh, so the offering plate is an evangelical term. I hope it's evangelical, but let's pretend, okay, it's an evangelical term. It's not a priestly term. You understand? It's the priestly term is offering. And that's why we call it offering, even in church. Maybe you ever thought, why we call it offering? Some other nations call it a collection of money. But we call, I love the offering thing because this is the language of priesthood. We bring offering. The money that you put in there is to assist missionaries, to assist, first of all, the mission of the local church and the missionaries and needs. But before you help anybody or even the church, this is for God. It's a sacrifice. And is a sacrifice, you see that? A sacrifice acceptable. And pleasing to God. The church in Philippi not only assisted financially, but they worshiped God. And when Paul received the money, he was overwhelmed. Why? Why? Oh, because he thought, oh, but these Philippians, you know, the Macedonians, they were really poor. No. He was overwhelmed because he realized, that's beyond me. That's beyond them. This is God's. Remember when I, the image of the altar, you put it there and you don't see it anymore? But when somebody that received it, and the beneficiary, when he sees or she, like, oh, that's a sacrifice. Number six, really, I love this one. I really preach very fast because I wanted to get to this. I was thinking I'm not able to get there, but praise God, I am. I love this one. Ephesians 5:1-2. The sacrifice of walking in love. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Love is a decision to seek what is best for someone who is loved. Despite of the cost, despite of the response, you lavish with love. You overwhelm with love. Paul has something specific in his mind when he said offering, something that is offered to God in a religious activity. This refers to the actual gift to God. It's a present. Whatever you give to God is a present. That sacrifice is a present to God. On the other hand, is a sacrifice, which is, in the context referred here, it refers to the one that Jesus brought. Jesus brought himself as a gift, as a present to God. And what when we walk in love, there is a tray of steps already in front of us. Is Jesus Christ. He walked first. And we walk the same path. And we walk in love. And this idea of walking is actually, or path, in the Old Testament is actually living your life. Right? So Jesus lived his life in love. He died because of love to us. And now it's our turn. Now it's your turn. And the question is this: are you living a life of love toward others? Because Jesus did it, now he expects you to do it too. Jesus walked in love and gave himself over on behalf of us. And he was committed to the Lord to the point that he said, I accept to be sacrificed. He gave himself up to the altar, right? That's why, up. He gave up to be sacrificed. This is the type of sacrifice that God wants from us. You see that? It's a fragrant offering and sacrifice. It's well-pleasing. God is happy. When you do this, he's happy. He says, yeah, that's my daughter. Yeah, that's my son. When we follow Jesus, his steps, when we live like Jesus, the Father says, yeah, that's it. It's a sweet aroma. He enjoys this gift. If when we live in love. Yesterday, I made some barbecue. And while I was, doing there, you don't do much. But I smelling that smoke. I love that smoke. By the way, if you know me, you know what I'm saying. So I was there in that smoke. And right away, I was thinking about this. Whoa, just a sec. This is like a sweet aroma to me. I love it. I look forward to eat the meat. But there is no smoke if there is no meat on the grill. You got that? In that moment, I was like, whoa, now I understand. The sacrifice was the same thing, right? You take the lamb or whatever and you put it on the altar and there is this smoke that everybody like, oh. Especially the fatty part, right? That was only God's. Today we have it and that's why we get sick. Because, but that was only for God, right? And you can smell it like, But this is only for God. I cannot taste it. But today when you do this, you smell it and you expect that next thing you will eat that, right? But I was thinking, there is no sweet aroma, smoke, if there is no meat on the grill. Living a life where you love others is the aroma, the smoke, that comes out of you being grilled. It's kind of a profane to think like this, but just bear with me. Bear with me. You not on the grill and the charcoal, the hot charcoal, is taking you, take that sweet aroma from you. There is no love. So when the people around you grill you, make you a good barbecue from you, what is the smoke coming out of you? Paul said, it better be love. It better be love. Because when it's love, look at that. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So I want to wish you a happy grilling in Vienna. And let the smoke go up to the Lord, our God, because he's looking forward for that sweet aroma, for that fragrant offering. When we sacrifice and bring gifts like Jesus, Jesus was like that. He was on a cross. That was it. When you look at Jesus on the cross, you see that love. But you don't see that love when I am grilled. And that's my problem. It's a 24/7 sacrifice. It has impact on God. It has impact on brothers. It has impact on non-Christians. It's a sacrifice of self toward others in behalf of others. A love that measures according to the standard left behind by Jesus Christ. If Jesus, and do like him. As new covenant priests, we are called to worship. And in today's world, when we talk about worship, most often we think of singing. There is nothing worse than this. Thinking that worship is singing only. It's part of it, but very small part of it. Actually, being involved in the priestly ministry and bringing spiritual sacrifices, we worship God. And next Sunday, I will give you the next sacrifices. But while I was... This is the verse I was looking for. I love this verse. But the hour is coming, and now is right here. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. You understand? He's actively looking for this type of priests that they worship acceptable sacrifices. The Father is not seeking people to sing to Him. He seeks people to consecrate their whole life to Him in Jesus' manner, to dedicate totally to the Lord.